Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening. Good night. Good morning. Hopefully you're enjoying this with a nice cup of coffee.
What if it's good night, though?
Hey, some people like to drink coffee at night.
Yeah. Really?
I actually know a lot of people who do.
Why?
I don't know why. They like to struggle on their way to sleep. Today we're recapping the Memorial Tournament for probably about 5 minutes, and then we'll dive right into Phil Mickelson joining the LIV Tour. But overall, I probably can't provide much. I have had finals this week. I was studying a lot. I barely watched any of his rounds, which is disappointing because obviously this is such a big, important tournament for me. But from what I've been hearing, sounds like Jordan got the good end of the draw and really should have been able to give himself a chance. But I'll let you guys
care. I don't know about giving himself a chance. I mean, Billy Horschel played
fair enough.
Really good golf. Kind of reminded me of Joaquin Neiman at Genesis. I think those two tournaments were just farmed between the best player in the field that week. Jordan finished tied for 18th. I probably would have taken that coming into the week. Not the way he finished tied 18th was probably a lot different than I would have expected. Best putting performance since I think the Valero or the Schwab of last year. So it's been a while since he's putted that good, which is really nice to see. Comes at a good time with a major championship a week away. So some positives.
Yeah. A lot of made 8 to 12 footers, which is so nice. I mean, it was weird. We talked a little bit, Jordan, about like when he's got an 8-footer, standing over, like not standing over it, us waiting for him to hit it and being like, this is probably going to go in, right? There was a sense of like, oh, he's going to make that one too. And he putted well all 4 days, except Sunday's is going to be a negative number. But only because he missed a couple, a 3-footer, I think, on 6 because it lipped out pretty harshly. So the ball striking was disappointing because he definitely could have been in contention with the way he putted had he hit it better. But I also, just not a lot of birdie chances, which was disappointing given where the putter was at this week. But nonetheless, not a terrible finish. You know, a top 20 is always nice. And then definitely got something specific to work on, which is Mr. Hybrid and some of the long irons were struggling to get around in time, and a lot of misses to the right. So that's something to work on, and then, you know, keep the foot down on the putter. I mean, he had a great driving day once this week, so short game was okay once this week. I think it's a good time for a week off, though.
Yeah, he drove it pretty well the entire weekend, I'd say. Just looking at the strokes gained numbers, Saturday and Sunday were pretty good.
When did he hit all those fairways? Was that Ricky?
He hit 11 round 3. He only hit 5 on Sunday, but the strokes gained liked him on Sunday. He hit, I think, 6 when he hit it in the bunker. Cost him a bit, but he hit it on 6 on. I got my holes mixed up here.
Friday,
yeah, you know better than I do. I'm pretty embarrassing for a Spieth expert, but Mr. Hybrid is really bad.
Memory. Mr. Hybrid
was.
I do remember complaints about Mr. Hybrid.
He was slicing the thing all day long.
Yeah, Mr. Carp and I are calling for a promotion for Mr. Iron.
Mr. Driving Iron.
Mr. Chantel can't do this iron.
Yeah,
Chantel. I'm on your head.
Yeah. Dunked so, on
Chantel McCabe.
Get on my level.
Yeah, putting was great. Gained a lot of strokes putting. So I'd like to see this continue, obviously. Suppose that sneeze now. So
I was gonna say that was some hard hitting stuff there from Mr. Blute.
He's not wrong though. I mean, yeah, Jordan hasn't putted well in a major and how well, I guess the Open last year, but besides that, he's putted horribly in majors. So
it's cost him.
It's time to take it into a major.
Yeah, Mr. Porter on TBS tweeted it out. He's lost strokes in like 7 of 8 majors, or 8 of 10, something crazy like that. Like, come on, that can't be happening. And you're right, it is nice to carry it into a major, although he putted Mr. Ranch pretty well, and then defaulted back to the norm at Mr. Hills. So
he putted all right at Craig Ranch. He putted really good this week.
No, but he was,
what about Mr. Country Club coming up? What's going to happen then?
Well, I think, look, Mr. If you haven't watched the Digest flyby,
Mr.
I
Club,
that was a sick video, by the way.
Yeah, go on over there and digest it.
That par five on the back, the one with the two tiers,
14.
That's going to be a
brutal. It's a sick hole. Is that the one with the false front too?
No.
There's no. Yeah, I think it.
But the false front is going to be 11.
No, I think it is. Or no, maybe that's 11.
The one with the false front is going to be electric. That third hole looks like there could be a lot of doubles made. Yeah. It's going to be a sick course.
14 is the par five on the back. It's just the two tiered, which looks really tough. That green is really tiny too.
Yeah.
It low key looks like watching the flyover. It looks like Mr. Threewood's going to have to be ready.
Mr. Threewood's been pretty good.
Mr. Threewood would deserve some props for his performance this past week at Muirfield. I can recollect zero mishits with the Threewood, like bad mishits. So
his tee shots on five are really good. That's a tough
exactly. Right. It's about the straightest Threewood you can look at, and you have to just step up there and stripe it, and he did. Yep. So
yeah, shout out Mr. Threewood. Thankfully, when Mr. Spieth wins at Mr. Andrews by 8, the driving iron will be in the bag since it's the Open.
Sure.
Well, I think it should be in the bag at every major.
Remember when we were begging him to hit? Remember when we were so down in the dumps that we were begging him to hit? This was at the Memorial probably 2 years ago when we were begging him to hit the driving iron on every hole.
Yeah,
like that was bad.
Just do it. Yeah, those were bad days.
Yeah, but hey, RBC, Mr. Heritage.
Yeah, just talking about Memorial a little more. No, the Sunday. I like the Sunday round. I thought Sunday was kind of a little preview of what we're gonna see at the Country Club for the U.S. Open. I liked his fight. I mean, 4 over through 6 to shoot 73 one over on a really tough golf course. He shot, I mean, one over was a pretty respectable round. It wasn't anything special, but it wasn't bad. And he was not playing for a win, and he still clawed his way back to shoot a respectable score on Sunday, which I think is maybe a good sign of things to come.
Yeah, great fight.
I was going to say, watching the first couple holes or just kind of follow, it seemed like he was just kind of getting, you know, unlucky with the course a little bit. Like, I think it was playing very difficult, but he was kind of just missing in like the wrongish spots, and I think thought it would still be playing a little bit easier than it was. So he got hit in the face, but then he responded, and I think that was the important part of the week. You know, that and the fight's always there, but so obviously the putter's the key kind of new thing, but just acknowledging that that fight is there. Because at a U.S. Open, I mean, you could get hit with four bogeys in seven holes, but if you can just find a way to get it back to one or two, you know, it's that could be the difference. And obviously, I think the putter is pretty helpful to that, but
you will need the whole putts. No secret there. He's going to need to make those par putts at U.S. Opens that are what, the 5 to 8 foot range. He's going to need to make a lot of them. And
there's going to be a lot of them. So yeah. It's like
there's a lot of confidence he can take from. I think the whole week, just he hasn't putted that well in what, over a year, which is crazy. Yeah. But question for you, Bob: what's the weather been up there? Has you guys gotten a lot of rain or?
No rain at all.
That's the way we like it.
This is the way we like it. No rain. It's been steamy up here. I know we'll be welcoming Jordan into the state in a few days, but it's a scorcher up here in Mass.
It's hot here too though, so I'll be well prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
has Mr. Wind been present?
Mr. Wind. It has been probably the windiest year I've been here.
That is so good.
On a consistent basis, though, because recently, like this past week, it's been kind of died down. But I remember like it being like borderline unplayable a few weeks ago, which was for a first for Mass, which would be sick next week. But yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure what the forecast looks like yet, but
trying to think if there's anything else on Memorial. The short game was really good this week. It was okay on Saturday, but it was really good Sunday.
It kind of let him down Saturday.
Yeah, it was poor.
Saturday could have been 66, if not better. I mean, I don't think it would have mattered because Horschel played really well Sunday, but. And I guess, props to Aaron Wise, too. I feel like that was a big time. I know he's won before, but I feel like he's worked really hard and kind of put something together here. And to get a finish like that, I mean, he beat everybody else by a pretty good margin. So it just, you know, Horschel was really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron, just looking, Aaron Wise has put together a good FedEx Cup season, too. He's got four top tens.
What's he at right now?
Pretty decent. I don't know what he's at the.
That's probably in. Probably like 80 or so. Well, I guess no. Solo 2, so he'll be up quite a bit.
Yeah. Solo 2, the Shriners, T5 at CJ Cup. He's kind of been a merchant of some crappy fields, but this week it was obviously the outlier.
No, I mean, he's.
He's 27th in the FedEx Cup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean.
He's very safe.
Obviously, the Honda sticks out from last year, but he's put together pretty good. He's like kind of on the brink of breaking out, I feel like, because he's a pretty good player. Another guy that I think is like that is Cam Young. Cam Young's going to be a superstar someday, and you can already kind of see it developing.
Yeah, Aaron Wise got unlucky not to win this week. He just ran into a guy that just torched the field. I mean,
played well on Sunday too to kind of get to not have it be a runaway run. Like there was some drama on like the 10th, but
Aaron Wise shot 70, right?
Yeah, great week.
Really good.
Wise. Great week from Wise.
71. But
yeah.
Do we have any more Memorial stuff before we get into this much?
Jack, Max Homa made a move on Sunday. And then he double bogeyed twice. That was the round of the day. He's playing obviously really well. I think he's a President's Cupper, like 100% now.
With DJ out.
Yeah, DJ out.
A lot of guys.
But we'll see. And Patrick Reed making a move. I'm telling you, he's coming.
Patrick Reed was, what did he shoot, 78 yesterday? We're recording this on Monday night.
He was not very good this week.
A quad on 15. Is a triple or a quad?
Yes, Mr. Reed. Yeah. Oh, he's just
Mr. Reed. Mr. Reed was in Brookline today scouting the country club.
Mr. Reed is also playing the Canadian Open. So Mr. Reed will have played 5 weeks in a row.
5 weeks with a major being the last.
Yeah, starting first and last. That's tough because he played his best golf in the middle.
Yeah, going back to Jordan, I think the week off is like perfectly timed.
Yeah.
The ball striking needs a little bit of work. You finally saw something with the putter. Like, it's at a perfect time.
Yeah.
Would agree.
It's Phil Mickelson time. This is going to be a great week on Twitter. It is. I cannot wait for Brookline to see what Phil has to say. Because, my God, this is going to be amazing.
Leah, what do you think that the first question asked to him has to be something Saudi-based, right? Like, it can't be, hey, Phil, how's the game?
I don't know, though, because, like,
I would love to see, like, the first question be, like, how the kids, Phil?
Yeah. We're talking about the press conference at the U.S. Open, right?
Yes.
Because obviously the one, if
are there press conferences at the Saudi?
I think we would have heard of one by now, so I doubt it.
I cannot wait to watch that. That's gonna be funny.
They got Arlo White too. He's really good. If you follow the Premier League on USA, that's
he's really good.
He calls like the Big Six games on Saturday or Sunday or whatever. But so he's really talented.
So yeah, I guess that was a good get.
Went and got the bag.
Which sucks if you're a Premier League fan, not to make this a soccer podcast.
We'll do both, but
No, he's done doing Premier League, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
He's doing Chicago. He does Chicago Fire games in the MLS, but I think he's done with the Premier League. I believe Peter Drury is replacing him. Peter Drury is pretty good, but
Peter Drury is pretty darn good. But
Do soccer not even have to be good? They just like scream goal.
No, you got to hear Arlo White.
Yeah, you haven't watched soccer. Really
good. I do not watch soccer. Is the World Cup started?
No.
It starts in November.
November.
What? Why?
Because it's in Qatar.
It's in Qatar. It's too hot. So they have to play in November.
Qatar. That's Qatar. Actually how you pronounce it.
Yeah, okay. Qatar. It's in Qatar. So it's in November.
Pronunciation expert.
Someone used to be like so annoying. Like I'd say like Qatar and they'd be like it's Qatar. Like that's exactly what I just did though. So I'm looking forward to see what happens. I'll definitely be more intrigued in the LIV event this week than the RBC Canadian Open. Just to kind of see what happens. Like I'm interested to see what kind of product they produce. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? I don't know. I don't want to get into another money argument where it's coming from, but I think it's kind of cool to see what's going to happen with the golf tour that has basically unlimited money. They can do whatever they want. There's money's no restriction. Like on the PGA tour, there's like they can only have shot tracker on one course of the two because, you know, they only have one truck. This tour has unlimited money.
Unlimited trucks. Unlimited shot links.
It'll be amazing to see what they do with everything. I'm DJ on the range today. It was just kind of cool. Like it was just like DJ just there by himself. It's like, DJ, what are you doing, man? Like, but yeah.
Not. You're right. I mean, it's weird because I think Riggs tweeted it. He's like, it feels so weird that this like imaginary thing for so long
is happening.
Like behind the scenes, it's like it's real with real people and real like everything. Yeah. So I don't know if I'll tune in, but I'll definitely kind of see the Twitter reaction because it's gonna. I mean, these next 2 weeks are gonna be phenomenal. You get the LIV this week. You get Sergio and James Pyatt teaming up. I actually don't know the teams, but like that would be electric, I think. So you just get Phil back in action, DJ, Louis. I mean, who doesn't want to watch those guys? So, and then the US Open with Phil saying, yeah, I'm going to play and Louis will be there. And I'd imagine DJ will be there, Gooch. So And Frank Quinn will be there. Fran, excuse me.
Fran Quinn, voice cracker.
57-year-old legend. Anyway.
Yeah, I think Bob said it. I agree. I'll be watching the live event. It's on YouTube. I'll stream it on my TV. That's much more intriguing to me than the PGA Tour event. No offense, but it's something new. And if it's really good, I'll watch it on weeks that Spieth isn't playing, because I'm sure there's going to be some coinciding weeks when Jordan's playing and all my attention will be there. But this week he's not playing, and, you know, it seems intriguing.
It's also cool that it's, like, so accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's such, like, a casual thing. Like, it's not proper official. Like, you can just turn on YouTube and it'll be like a live stream, like someone streaming PGA Tour 2K. Like,
yeah, what's helpful about having a lot of money is that you don't need to ask for a lot of money.
Exactly.
So if they have a playing through for the LIV Tour, I mean, my God, people are gonna go bananas, because that's PGA Tour pumps out the same product. But they shouldn't have things like that. Probably less ads. We'll see. Maybe there's some interesting characters, because DJ's not so. Phil, they needed Phil, because at least people will tune in to see what Phil's up to. And it seems like I saw a bunch of stuff today about Ricky to the LIV. He's not very dramatic, but he'd be another, like, well-known guy to get over there. So they're making some moves, and I don't know if I'll actually be watching it, but I'll surely be following along on Twitter. I mean, it's probably the most interesting thing going on next weekend.
Yeah, I think, again, we're not going to get into our where's the money coming from debate/argument again, but at the very least, I think, like, going into watching it, you got to have an open mind, just because the product could be really good. Like, there could be no commercials. It could be a better TV watch than a PGA Tour event, if you get what I'm trying to say.
They've talked about how they want to, like, incorporate and, like, make it fun for the fans. I'm interested.
Lost you for a second, but I think I hear what you were getting at.
Yeah.
It could be a really good watch. I mean, you can't really judge it. Like, you can judge, like, where the money's coming from, sure, but you can't, like, it could be really entertaining to watch. You know what you get with the PGA Tour on a weekly basis. You get your PGA Tour Live with John McGinnis and company. It's the same thing every week, but I mean,
shout out John.
LIV is going to be completely different. And again, like, they got, like, I know you don't know him, Bob, but Arlo White's really good.
Yeah, I searched
up, listen to him.
I searched up some of his best calls. He sounded pretty good. He's British, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Who's the guy in the FIFA games? Martin Tyler.
Martin Tyler, yeah.
Like him too. Yeah, well, is he doing more Premier League?
I don't know. Not sure.
When he did the
the
Damari Gray goal against Arsenal,
that was, I was so, like, stop talking about this.
It was so good. It was so good.
Bob is not a soccer guy. You watch the World Cup, though. You won't watch the World Cup.
I have in the past. If the World Cup started tomorrow, I would not care. maybe in November during school. You know what? You want to know what made it really hype? Is that usually it's in, like, June, right?
Yeah.
Usually, so yeah. Summer.
And, like, the first round would always be what we'd watch in class.
Oh, really?
And all the teachers would, like, put on their board, and that would be, like, a big day, because, like, we'd all pick a team that we were cheering for, and the class would go crazy if they scored. And, like, but, like, to be honest, when I went home, it's not like I watched.
Sure.
Different product than everything else. Like, I'll
– sure.
Like, there are tons of people like me who will only watch the World Cup and no other soccer. So
yeah, I think the U.S. is in the World Cup for the first time since you were, like, 6 years old.
Honestly, I watched the Euro tournament. I thought that was really
good. Euro.
What is that? Just the Euros? That was that?
Yeah, it's the European teams, all the European countries.
Yeah, that was good. What was the finals last time?
Italy beat England in PKs.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And Italy's not in the World Cup, funny enough, which is just crazy.
That's insane.
But that's another story. What else on Liv? I'm trying to think of Liv. Tiger Woods rejecting a high nine-figure offer to join Liv.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, and I'm like, if he was younger.
It's a good question. If he was on,
yeah. And he was offered, like,
I don't even know. I don't think so. Oh, actually, sorry. Go ahead.
You offer this to Tiger Woods when he's 24. Or let's say when he has like six majors. And you offer him like close to $1 billion.
Yeah. He'd probably go. Problem is that.
And another thing is.
He's so driven to win. Like, yeah. As long as he could play, he wouldn't go if he couldn't play in the majors. But the only other thing is, like, if he couldn't play in PGA Tour events, he might not, because at the same, he was probably going for that record of 82 as well, right? Yeah. So
another thing is, remember, 2-3 years ago in 2018, 2019, if Spieth was playing the way he was, would we have been talking about it being a possibility? Like, I don't think in the end he would have ever chose to go. But do you think we, as fans, would have looked at it being like, well, he doesn't have much going on the PGA Tour for him right now? I think it would have been interesting to see what we would have took out of it before he made any comments, obviously, because I don't think he'd ever end up going.
I have a take on it, and right. I'm going to bring Ricky into it. And I don't know if this is true or if it's not true, but I always thought, even in 18 when Jordan was, or not 18, 19, 20, when he was really bad, I think Jordan thought he could get back. It's going to take a lot of time to get back to an elite level, but I always think he could get back. I don't know if Ricky thinks he can.
Well, to be fair. That's
the big difference.
To be very, very, very fair.
Very fair. Hold on.
And this is very, very fair. This is not a knock on Ricky Fowler, because Ricky Fowler, in all sense of the mind, has had a successful tour career. He's
very successful.
Compared to most people, he's had a very successful tour career. But Ricky Fowler, at the end of everything being said, is not as talented as he was made out to be at one point. And that's the fact of the matter. Jordan Spieth was, Justin Thomas was, Smiley Coffin was not. But everyone wanted Ricky to win a major, and he played well in majors, but like, he was always just kind of a Matt Kuchar or a Lee Westwood, like, not even like he was always like that guy who probably wasn't ever going to get more than one major, if ever.
Go. I just wanted to give Ricky, like, we're not crap on Ricky. I had a look at his, like, his major resume. He's gotten unlucky a couple times.
He has. He's run into some.
Like, if you look at his numbers, he probably should have one. I think I saw something like an expected major stat maybe like a month ago. And I think he was expected to have like one. And if you look at the stats, he really should have had one, because. Yeah. Like, specifically 2018, the Masters, that's the first one that I see right here.
Yeah.
Like, Patrick Reed just played out of his mind that week.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Sorry for interrupting you.
I just, you look at it all, and like, some people are just overhyped because of how much they're liked by the fans. It's the same thing with Matthew Wolff, right? Who's even worse than Ricky. It's just, it's unfortunate because everyone wants him to do well. And as much as sometimes it can be the funny running joke that, oh, Fowler missed the cut again, like, we're all kind of rooting for him, right? Like, sure. I would have no problem with Ricky Fowler winning a major tomorrow. That would be really cool. Do you guys all agree?
Yeah.
It'd be cool if he won a major tomorrow.
Well, you know what I mean.
He's right, though. I mean, like, Ricky. Oh, yeah,
I can't deny that. If Ricky won a major, that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know off the top of my head, but he's got to be, what, maybe top five, top 10 player ever to not win a major?
He does, yeah. He's got players. Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough.
That is. Back to your question about, like, if it had come out a couple years ago, would Jordan have gone? I mean, no, he would have never gone. But would we talk about it? I think if he was still playing like that now when it happened and this decline had kept coming, I think then we'd be talking about it more. But it's also tough because the fact that Ricky might go is almost insane to me, because the PGA Tour got him the bag off the course. Like, he probably makes, I mean, Jordan, the same thing, even Tiger and Phil, like, they make absurd amount more money off the course than they do on. And for Ricky to, like, I don't know. I mean, obviously he'll make more just playing meaningless golf.
Yeah.
In probably anywhere but Saudi Arabia, because there's only one event there, but whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Will we miss Ricky on tour? I think a little bit, probably more than DJ. I'd say more than Phil, just because at this point, I only feel excited about Phil playing if he's in a major. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's the Rocket Mortgage and Phil is playing, it's like, all right, like, I'll tune in.
You love Mr. Mortgage, don't you?
Mr. Mortgage has been good to my area, yes. but no, I Ricky, I mean, DJ could care less if he plays. Same with Louis. I mean, he's a solo two at best, right? So it's like, all right, he's there. But and then, like, Taylor Gooch, I thought he's gonna be good, but, you know, don't really care. Sergio only provided, like, funny highlights, so I don't really care about all those dudes. But Ricky would be a little bit of a, not a shock, but it'd be, man, like, it'd be cool to see Ricky Fowler win anything again, but not an LIV event. I am surprised Schauffele isn't trying to continue his rack of wins in a team.
That would be so funny for the agenda.
Yeah. But I don't know. Have you guys looked at the golf course for the tournament? I think Centurion, right?
I read a few words about it. That's about it.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's obviously a really nice golf course.
That's another reason I'll watch, for my nerdiness of golf courses. Like, to be fair, though, the RBC Canadian Open's adding new courses here. So literally two, like, completely new courses this week with the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour, which is kind of cool.
That's cool. We don't get that very often, new courses, unless they have to, like, what tournament did they move? The Byron Nelson, because Mr. Ranch is clearly and obviously a better golf course. So,
sure, that was the reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it was too. But
I think, like, another thing with the LIV, and, like, this is, like, one of my biggest gripes, like, if Jordan would have went, him winning an LIV tournament does absolutely nothing for me as a fan. Like, that's, yeah, there's absolutely nothing.
And it does nothing. The only thing it does is for maybe his confidence and his bank account.
Yeah, like, I don't give a crap. I guess I care about the confidence.
Your legacy won't change if you win a bajillion LIV events.
I've just come up with the ultimate scenario. Would you take Jordan Spieth on the LIV tour for the rest of his career, but he won like 8 or 9 majors?
When's he going on the tour?
Right now.
Yeah.
He won 8 or 9 more
majors. I think I would too.
I'd do that easily.
I think I would too.
I mean,
he wins 8 or 9 total, or 8 or 9 more?
8 or 9 total.
Oh.
Does he get the slam?
He does get the slam.
I'd still do it, yeah.
I think you have to.
Yeah, because, like,
I've always been of the, like, assumption, like, overall, for the most part, a major is like 5 PGA Tour wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but, like, the tour wins make me happy. Yes. Was I crazy happy after Valero? Yes. Crazy happy after RBC Heritage? Yes. But yeah.
Majors are something.
Majors are majors, man.
And like, also, like, overall, throughout the PGA Tour season, of all the heartbreak that happens during the PGA Tour season for just one win a year, like, I'd rather just sustain casual golf where I don't have to, like, do it. Like, I don't have to, like, be invested in it. I just have to, like, root for him, like, yay, go Jordan. But then 4 weeks a year, like, oh, yeah. And he wins, like, one every 2 or 3 years the rest of his life. Like, that's going to be the question then is, where does he stand all time? Like, where do you rank people who went on the LIV tour? Like, I don't know, man.
Well, so I think Phil is where he was regardless, because I don't think he wins another major, right? But I think his career before will have him locked into wherever he is on the legacy leaderboard. But I think for DJ, it'll be interesting to see, he plays on the LIV tour for the next 7-8 years, calls it quits, but he wins a major or two. And then it's like, all right, so how do people kind of, is that a, you know, where do I people, even if it's a legit, would. The least Mickey Mouse major of all time, like he took down prime, you know, JT, Spieth, Xander, well, no, Xander, Billy Horschel, like that at a course that was perfect. Like, then what do? You know, I think you still move him up, but I think I could see people have their like LIV emotions kind of spread over into their placement of him on this legacy leaderboard. Or like, how do people feel if Louis comes back and wins at the country club? You know, like that's it. Louis's like first major. It's like, oh, he broke through.
He's got a major, Dan. Don't forget that. Like, he has one.
I feel like the most idiot in all of the universe. I mean, come on.
He should have more than one. But
the fact that I disrespected Mr. Oosthuizen like that.
I mean, he won at St. Andrews that in is 2010. You were 10 years old. I'll give you a pass.
I wasn't even 10, but my that was so bad. Just so bad. And I am so deeply sorry to Mr. Oosthuizen, because he deserves better than that. He really does. I cannot believe. Oh my God.
Wow. Oh. Let's move on.
Oh no.
But Dan, that was misery. Would you guys still be a fan if that happened?
I think I'd be the biggest fan in the majors. And then, like, I just don't think I'll care that much about the LIV.
I won't care that much, but I'm more asking you, like, nope, done with him. He went to the LIV tour, worst person of all time.
I think it'd be too hard.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Because it's not like,
like, I don't get me wrong, I love Jordan's off the course personality. Like, I love the fact that he's such a good person and gives so much to charity. But like, in the over scheme of sports, and I truly believe Jordan is a good person. I'm not saying like he's just like a fake, but in the grand scheme of sports, you don't know who people are. And I'm generally okay with like rooting for bad players on certain teams, like bad people on certain teams, just because like, what are you supposed to do? Not root for the Rangers because Ryan Reeves is like an ass on like at home. Like, no, like that's not how you can approach sports, because you don't know what you don't know what people are doing. So involuntarily and like individual sports, yeah. I mean, there are certain things that rub me the wrong way, but like, it would be too hard now to abandon Spieth for going to a different tour, I feel like. But yeah, I'm with Dan. I don't think I'd care that much for the normal events, but for the majors, I'd be all in.
Agreed. Majors are just too important. LIV events, I wouldn't care.
Yeah. No, I think we kind of hit the nail on the head there. Like, I, you know, I'm not sure how much more we have to add. So, okay, so does anybody really know the format for the first one?
Like, I think they, like, draft teams. Like, it's still 54 holes of stroke play, but I think, like, based on how they finish, they get, like, points to the team or something like that. There's supposedly going to be a draft, which I don't even think we can watch, which sucks, like Tuesday or Wednesday night.
Yeah, well, isn't that, that's like the worst part of it, right, is that it's the newer thing in golf, the draft, and
they're, we not, can't even see it. Yeah, like,
they're not even going to, like, not even promote that part that's new and exciting.
It's poor marketing.
So it's just, it's like, yeah, I don't quite get that part.
No, you're spot on. Like, someone on Twitter said that too. Like, you have something brand new and you're not going to show it off. It makes no sense. But I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. We'll know the teams. It's not like they're not going to be public once the draft occurs. And yeah, it'll be interesting. There is, starting this week, I mean, two tours that are going to be like, all right, which one am I going to choose between? It'll be interesting.
Another thing is, here's the un goal I think happens is, one, it blows over and the LIV Tour is not here in 365 days from now. Or I think eventually, I just think the PGA Tour is going to have to accept the fact that this isn't going away, and they're going to have to let the players play both. So it'll be interesting to see which one.
I think it's going to be a battle between the tour waiting to have the players, the tour waiting to try and get the players back versus the players wanting to go back to the tour, because I think the players still want to improve their legacy. Like, I don't know how much legacy, how many people, what level of money kind of cancels out your legacy, you know, like how much money do you need to give up on your legacy? And I think there's not enough, I don't think, for a lot of those dudes. So I think some of them, like, I think Taylor Gooch might be one of those guys who just really wanted the money. But then there's this desire for, I want to be like a 10, because who's going to look back and say, oh, Taylor Gooch, 12-time LIV winner? Like, if they say Taylor Gooch, 7-time PGA Tour winner, plus he won the Arnold Palmer or something, right? Like, then it's like, okay, you know. But so I think that'll be kind of the battle, is like, who wants to go back to who first?
I just feel like, again, I don't want to argue about it, but like, I just, like, Taylor Gooch, for example, gets his bag playing the LIV tour, wants to come back. Like, I just, like, if I'm Jay Monahan, like, I'm thinking, like, are you kidding me? You just went over there to get money. Now you want to come play on my tour again? Like, that's just a tough dynamic, especially for the guys that are loyal. Like, I heard, like, Harold Varner was offered like $30 million. Like, he's far from set for life right now. I would think, I don't know what his finances are. It's not for me to know, but like, he was loyal to the tour. He's still here. And like, Taylor Gooch is doing the exact opposite. It's an interesting dynamic.
It is, but I also think like, in the long term, like, the PGA Tour is going to be hurt by not having Phil Mickelson and DJ's viewers. Not a huge amount, but they're going to be hurt. They're not losing followers with James Pyatt going there, but at some point, I think like, is letting Phil play one or two PGA Tour events a year like worth making a scene being like, nope, can't. Like, I feel like having Phil back on the PGA Tour for just a few events a year would still be beneficial to the PGA Tour.
I just don't know if he wants to play the tour anymore. Like,
he said he did.
Does Phil want to play on
the tour? He said, but like, think about it. The tour's biggest event, he always misses the cut at. So, like, players.
True.
No. Not Mr. Ranch?
Stop it. But you get what I'm saying. I mean, I get that he says he wants to come back, but like, where would he play? What tour event would he play?
I think you play Pebble.
That's a good point. But that's the week of the Saudi investments.
Okay, so then do you let the other guys in the LIV come back too?
To be fair, the Pebble, it's usually the week of the waste management.
True. You make a fair point.
Yeah.
But I don't know where Mr. Mickelson is. You can't really trust what he says at the same time.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I was just going to say, if they let Phil back, then they probably have to let DJ and Gooch and all these other guys back a little bit. And then it's like, well, you didn't draw a very strong line, even though you said you made it pretty hard for them to go, but you're not making it hard for them to come back. So, like, what's the point of all that unless you have a serious change of heart for whatever reason? But I don't know. So I think if they go, they just don't come back. And I think it'd be cool, but at this point, I think Phil realizes that getting another PGA Tour win doesn't matter a whole lot. It's more about the majors for him. And I think LIV is a way for him to make bank, play some competitive golf, but then just try and figure out a way to gear up for Augusta and the Open and all the others in between. Yes, the PGA and the US Open,
which me and Jordan will be at. I would do anything for Phil Mickelson to win next week. That would be the most unbelievable, mind-blowing, crazy, ridiculous, every adjective out there to describe what that would do to the world of golf would be you can't even fathom it.
I mean, you can see the headline right now. LIV golf star Phil Mickelson takes home US Open.
Completes career grand slam.
Hey, but that would be such a middle finger to Jay Monahan, too.
Not a PGA Tour event.
But it's still, but like,
yeah,
you can't deny that, like, it's like, hey, I'm the US Open champion. I'm not on your tour anymore.
True. I get where you're coming from. But I mean,
one of the two active career Grand Slamists isn't on what's supposed
to be. And on top of all that, the Grand Slam would probably be the least of the stories.
I don't know.
I'm curious as to who he plays this week, actually.
One of six is pretty. That's a huge deal.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but Phil talked with Bob Herrig today before he departed for London. And he said not a guy you should trust what he says, but he said he's shooting some good scores. Like, he said that. So obviously take it with a grain of salt, but like, what if he goes to the London event, maybe he doesn't win it, but shoots like a couple rounds in the mid 60s. Cause I assume this golf course will be gettable. Tough, but like, Phil shoots some mid 60s rounds. And then, I mean, you hit the hype coming into the US Open that maybe he can compete. Like, it's,
Yeah, but I'm going to put this out there right now. Phil Mickelson is not going to compete at the U.S. Open. Like, he'll be there.
He will be there.
For a couple days, I think.
It's a two-day type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, those fairways are tight. Phil with the driver is Phil the thrill. And it's thrilling because it could go anywhere. But you can only do that, in case you didn't know what thrill meant.
Thank you, Dan.
But you can only do that for so long. Yeah. Phil just can't thrive around the country club. But speaking of thriving, we'll be playing the RBC Canadian this week as well. We don't have our picks yet because we just don't. But
we'll IG them or tweet them. We'll get them out. Bob is – Dan, you're actually in second now. I don't know if you know. If you knew that.
Yes, and I finally hit a bet.
Did Jordan move to first?
No, oh, Jordan didn't Bob, move to first.
You're plus 1,000 almost.
Yeah.
Because both of you – because Rom backdoor – he Rory'd a top 10.
Oh, my God. That was electric, by the way. Me and Ryan had we needed John Rahm top 20 very much, and the shot tracker had John Rahm in the water on 18, but then switched.
Speaking of PGA Tour Live, there were a couple shot traces that week that made me cry.
Oh yeah,
not actually cry, but like, well, there was one on two where I was like, that is so far right. And then it's just a twirl and a quick tee pickup. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then it's just right down the middle. So I hope they figure their stuff out. They've been good. I'm just, you know, ribbing them a little bit. But
sure.
Yeah.
We got anything else to wrap up this memorial / LIV?
I can't leave this podcast without giving a huge shout out to Franklin. On his qualification today, which was just absolutely electric. Guy's 57 years old, beat out a bunch of people in an 8-for-3 playoff who are 20 plus years younger than him. Franquin, actually, fun fact, played in the 2014 US Open, led, and then Keimer teed off. But a cool story all around is his son, who is now someone I've gotten to know pretty well, has become a friend of mine, was on the bag for him for Father's Day, which is really sick. But just an overall great guy. I've known him for a few years, not as well as I've known a lot of his family, but he's a great guy. And especially his nephew. I know his nephew very well. One of my best friends. So, shout out to him, because that's incredible to qualify for the U.S. Open at 57, knowing how hard it is to qualify for the U.S. Open, given Ricky Fowler did not. It's quite an accomplishment. So it will be sick to see him. Hopefully he's in a different wave than Jordan. That's the hope. But also, I was able to secure my my final two tickets. So we have all five. Wednesday through Sunday.
Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded. So we'll be there.
That's awesome. Jordan, you're Wednesday through Sunday or just Thursday?
Wednesday will happen. I don't have it yet, but I'll get it.
Dude, that's so sick. That'll be so much fun.
It's going to be a sick week. And then I'm going to Travelers the week after, which would be super sick. To see Jordan 2 weeks in a row after not having seen him in a few years. So looking forward to it, really am, but just really cool. It's kind of surreal to see someone you know qualify for the US Open. Like, it's sick. Shout out to him, really, really, really cool. So,
a bunch of I think Ricky's unfortunately missed out by one, as you mentioned, but he lipped out on the last
from 6 feet,
from like 6 feet, and that's just.
That's Ricky.
Yeah, it's just so sad. But it's crazy that, I mean, that's just golf, right? That like a 57-year-old pro can beat a players champion. Not the 2002 players champ, but the 2015 players champ. to get into the U.S. Open. Shout out Craig Perks, by the way. If you didn't know, 2002 Perks. But
yeah.
All right, we're wrapping it up there with a shout out to Mr. Craig Perks. We'll be back soon with the U.S. Open preview.
U.S. Open preview. We'll try to get Elise back because we know you love Elise. She gave out a fantastic week at the PGA. So we'll see. We'll be seeing. Yeah.
Take care.
Peace.